This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. Have you ever actually looked at the label on your dog's food? Most dog food labels are a long list of things that don't look like food. Powders, starches, additives used to hold ultra-processed kibble together. At We Feed Raw, the label looks very different. High-quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, complete and balanced nutrition formulated by PhD nutrition experts. No fillers, no artificial preservatives, just real ingredients that support your dog's whole body health. That's why many pet parents see real changes after switching to We Feed Raw's fresh meals. If you want to feed your dog one of the healthiest diets possible, We Feed Raw makes it simple. Right now, new customers can get 40% off their starter box plus free shipping. Visit We Feed Raw at wefeedraw.com to get started today.
This Mother's Day, give her something she'll truly use and absolutely love. Minky Couture blankets are the perfect mix of beauty, comfort, and luxury. From elegant neutrals to spring florals, there's a style just for her. Say thank you with softness that lasts far beyond the day. She deserves it. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.
Welcome, everybody, to another Breaking Edition episode live reaction of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast, third podcast live stream of the day. Justin, how's it going, everybody? I'm your host, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, Justin Graver, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titansize, who's been really busy over there at Titansize.com, as the Titans have made seven signings today, if we include Morgan Cox. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at JustinM_NFL, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI. I feel like an auctioneer. Justin, do I got 20? Do I got 25? Do I got 30? It's my co-host, Justin Mello. What's up, Justin?
That's how I felt how many articles I was writing while I was gone. Did I write 20? Did I write 25? Oh, boy. I haven't stopped the entire day. It's been wild. We've actually published 16 articles on Titan-sized today. 16 articles today. So go over, give them a read. Contract details, analysis, just all kinds of stuff. It's been a long one, but I guess I'm doing well. Mike Borgonzi, I mean, what happened to building through the draft? We want to be a draft and develop and retain. And I'm not complaining, certainly, and I'm not blaming him. I'd be curious to know what sort of incited this 180, 360, whichever one it is. 183, like, what incited this? Because this is really maybe not building through the draft. I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I would call it a 180 because a 360 would take you all the way back around to where you started. Right. So that doesn't fit. But in a 180, absolutely, as the Titans have spent, by my calculation, Justin, if you take the total value of all the contracts they've signed, and this does not include Mitch Trubisky because we still don't know what his 2-year deal is worth, but just the other six guys... five guys? The other guys, $262 million. You got Trubisky on the shortest deal out of anybody there with a 2-year contract. Wandale's on a 4-year contract. Bellinger's on a 3-year contract. And the three signings that we're about to talk about, all, I think, 3-year contracts, if I'm not mistaken. I will confirm that.
Yes,
they're all 3-year contracts. So Bellinger, 3 years, $24 million. Wandale, 4 years, $70 million. Only 38 of that guaranteed, so it's kind of like a 2-year deal for Wandale. Cordell Flott, cornerback, 3 years, $45 million. Alante Taylor, cornerback, 3 years, $60 million, 42 of that guaranteed. It's basically a 2-year contract. And John Franklin Myers, 3 years, $63 million, $42 million guaranteed there as well, also making it more like a 2-year contract, but... the Titans focus on offense early in the morning. We did a reaction on that one. Focus on defense later in the day. We did mention on our previous live stream, the second one of the three we've done today, that Paul Kaharsky had just reported the Titans had shifted their attention to the cornerback group. And there's some really interesting reporting coming out about the corners the Titans went and grabbed. So let's start there, because John Franklin Myers at defensive tackle, also a very impactful addition, maybe the most impactful defensive addition, and we'll see. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's start with the corners, because first, what happened first was the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, who tweeted out, Tay to the Titans, let's go, or something like that. Quickly deletes it. Everyone on Titans Twitter is like, wait a sec, is he saying Tay? Who's Tay? Is that Alante? Alante Taylor? Is he saying Alante Taylor signing with the Titans? No insiders breaking it. He quickly deletes the tweet. We're all scrolling and scanning, looking for news. And suddenly we get news that the Titans have signed a different cornerback, Cordell Flott. I mentioned 3 years, $45 million. And the story behind this one is awesome because apparently the Giants really wanted him back. He's an ascending player, only 24 years old, who's gotten better every year. Giants fans were upset that they were unable to retain him. And the reporting from Connor Hughes was that the Giants had the deal basically done. And the Titans come swooping in at the last second, taking full advantage of this new rule where you can have a face-to-face video chat with free agents before you sign them, now during this tampering period. Get Cordell Flott and his agent on the phone. Robert Saleh lays out his plan for how he's going to use him in the Titans defense. And Flott says, you know what, Giants, you guys might be have a cool, fun new direction with Harbaugh and signing Isaiah Likely and giving a punter the most money a punter's ever gotten in free agency. But I'm going to go where these guys feel like they have a real vision for me. And so the Titans land Cordell Flott, an incredible recruiting pitch, I guess, delivered by Robert Saleh.
Yeah, apparently they said Saleh laid out the entire plan, right, from a scheme perspective and how he would use them. I saw some people here say I wasn't excited. I am excited. Don't get me wrong. I might be a little tired, but I am excited. Don't mistake that one for the other. And you know, it goes to show you, when you look at this Titans roster, partially why I'm not complaining that they did all this, look how bad it was and how much they still have to do. Like, even after signing these 6-7 players, and sorry, not to change the subject on you, but, well, they still need a center. We're going to talk about that a little bit. They still need a right guard. We don't know what's going on there. We've heard about them being the linebacker market. You know, that hasn't arrived yet. Is there room for an edge rusher? Certainly, right? A wide receiver, a running back, like another wide receiver I meant. A running back, a depth safety. Like, some of these aren't as important as the others, but there's still a ways to go, and they've done so much. So it really just goes to show you the state of this roster, that Mike Borgonzi couldn't just sit on his hands and do nothing as much as he's talked about building through the draft. You want to build this roster through the draft, it was probably going to take 5-6 years if you wanted to do it exclusively. You're not going to get 5-6 years. You know what I mean? Just right. doesn't work that way in the National Football League when you're losing as much as the Titans have been losing lately. You and I talked a lot about them needing to sign two corners in free agency. They should go get two corners. We said it a lot. Leading up, we weren't sure if they would, but they did, right? In Cordell Flott and Alante Taylor. I remember Flott coming out of LSU a couple years ago, was a third-round pick. Big guy listed here. I mean, there's no way he's 175, I don't think, but he's listed at 6'1", 175, probably weighs more than that now. Had a solid year last year. Like you said, Giants fans were pretty disappointed to lose him, you know, from what I've gathered. Was a workhorse, almost 800 snaps there, as you see. Good amount of PBUs. Passer rating allowed in the 70s. I know, you know, PFF, grain of salt, but that's really solid. You know, anytime in a posing passer ratings in the 70s, you've done a pretty good job in coverage. So I like the age that you said, 24. Like, you love getting guys. Wandell Robinson's pretty young as well. Like, you love getting guys at that age as well. Alante Taylor, like a theme here. A lot of these guys coming off their rookie contracts, right? So you know, a fairly young crop of free agents that you could actually grow with, but also just 3 years, a lot of them, like you said, which I like, because God forbid you make a mistake or two here, you know, getting out of it at 2 years is a lot better than you having to wait that extra third. I'm not to think this far ahead, but you know, that's when the Cam Ward contract hopefully is going to want to kick in. Like, you're going to want to have the flexibility to get out of some of these deals if you've got to sign guys to extension. So some really shrewd business, I think, by Mike Borgonzi this afternoon.
Yeah, I really like the signings that they've made. But as you said, they still have a bunch of holes to address. But towards the end of this stream, I'll put up the Titans checklist that we went over on the first stream this morning, what feels like 5 weeks ago now, but it was only like 6 hours ago, Justin, when we started that countdown to free agency stream. And you know, you've done a lot of work since then. I've done a lot of work since then. I see you yawning. You're trying to hide it. You don't have to hide it from the Audible Army. They know you've been up since 5 a.m. getting ready for one of, if not the single busiest day on the entire NFL calendar, in season or out. This is it. And you and I have really felt the grind, I think. But so the Titans get Cordell Flott. Big move. They needed a young corner that can grow on the outside, and they got him, and he's going to be a starter for this defense, and we'll see if Robert Saleh's plan for him comes to fruition in a good way, or if, you know, the Giants' defense wasn't necessarily that good last year. So borrowing players from a team that's picking 5th overall, you know, they've signed 3 guys who were Giants last year now in the first few hours of free agency. But yeah, I think that is going to be the type of player they wanted. He was apparently the Titans' targeted Flott, and they wanted him, and they went and got him. And you know, with Mike Borgonzi's emphasis on building that culture in the locker room, if Brian Daboll was in New York with this guy for the past few years and said, this guy is a plus in the locker room to the culture, I like him, I want him, let's go get him, and Robert Saleh is like, I have a plan for how we're going to use him, let's go get him, then you love that they had that conviction and went out and got him. And they got him $15 million per year, average annual value. We will see what the first year cap hit looks like. And this is the thing I want to sort of emphasize to everybody, because I've seen you get it, I've gotten this on Twitter, lots of people tagging us. Oh my goodness, I was wondering if this would happen. This is the second time in a row, 2 streams in a row, we go live and another signing happens while we're live. Apparently the Titans have just signed Bobby Okereke. We can react to that too in a moment. Let's see what's going on Twitter here. Is it in here? Is it up here? Is it live? Where'd you guys see this deal? I just saw it in the live chat. I didn't see it yet either.
So,
I did see a fake report about Okereke. So be careful. You're not falling for the fake reporters out there.
Wait, are we? I think we got fooled. Did we just get fooled? Who said that? Come on, man.
Somebody in the live chat just got fooled. Jay Turn 314. Calm yourself down there. We don't need to be reacting. Yeah, it's fake. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the fake excitement. That's actually good because I had a point I was trying to make and that totally derailed it. Anyway, the point I was trying to make is while the Titans have spent $262 million in total contract values so far today, we don't know what their cap situation currently looks like. We know that they can save a lot of money if they move on from Snead and Ridley, which they haven't done yet. And we know that most of these contracts are going to have a lower first-year cap hit than what the average annual value is for the contract. Daniel Bellinger's cap hit is out, by the way. Zach Lyons just tweeted it. It's going to come out just over $5 million a year. The Titans are signing center Austin Schlottman to a 1-year deal. That just happened. Tom Pelissero. That one's real. That one is real.
I am not familiar with him.
Austin Schlottman. Should we see what PFF has to say about Austin Schlottman? Because I'm with you, Justin. Look, you guys come to us for the news. I couldn't even tell you
the where. The Giants. Are you kidding me? Another Giants.
Oh, my goodness. This is actually pretty funny. Austin Schlottman played for the Giants last year. He only played 363 total snaps throughout the entire season, but played 362 of them at center. So that's an interesting, obviously you like that. He's been around a bit, 3-4 years with the Broncos, 2 years with the Vikings, past 2 years with the Giants, with Carmen Brasillo, with Brian Daboll. I had a point I was trying to make and we just keep getting derailed by news here, so we haven't made it yet. I mean, this is a pretty dang good grade. 10th out of 40 centers, obviously a small sample size. We'll have to turn on some film, Justin, before we can give these people our truly informed opinion. I can't tell if this is sarcasm or real, but Bill Dance 98 says Schlottman was my number one target. Meanwhile, Sir Kendall the Yapper is on the same wavelength as most other people. Who TF is that?
Yeah,
what TF is, but
I'm assuming this is a bit of a floor raiser.
Yeah.
Just a backup plan. Like, they might draft a mid-round center, in all honesty. They might bring back Corey Levin and let the two of them compete. This isn't obviously the big ticket at center, right? It's not, I mean, we know they had missed out on Linderbaum and Cade Mays, but it's not even Dylan Parham or Andre James or Luke Fortner, who I think was still out there as well. Yeah, this one's a bit of a surprise. Like I said, this might be a depth signing, but, or, I mean, I'd be curious to know. Be curious to know, is it a depth signing or is it a, we think this guy could be our starter?
Yeah, I mean, PK had put it out there that he thought the Titans might be going with a Corey Levin route at center.
Jackson Slater, right, I think?
Jackson Slater route at center. So maybe this is competition. Maybe this is swing depth on the interior. Or maybe they see this guy as like a one-year starter and then they move on to somebody else. I wanted to see, somebody said, check out, Jermaine Johnson's recruiting again. You see Jermaine Johnson's tweets? He had some pretty funny tweets that we should take a look at because they were great. Give me one moment to pull him up. So he had the time to take my recruiter hat off. We went 1-of-1 chat after the Titans signed John Franklin Myers, which again, we still need to react to. And then he's got one out there tagging. It's going to be in his replies, isn't it? He's got another one out there tagging Quincy Williams with the eye emoji. We don't know if that's happening, if that has happened. We do still expect the Titans to make a move at linebacker. So Jermaine Johnson pushing for Quincy Williams. But anyway, where's the big Jeff tweet? That's what I wanted to find here. So on the report that Elgton Jenkins is being released by the Packers, Jeffrey Simmons has quote tweeted with the little emoji. I wonder if anything is happening there.
Before ultimately releasing him. So they did actually cut him.
Yes.
So interesting that the Titans could go get him if they'd like, but they did go get Austin Slotman. Does that prevent one from the other? I don't even know. I don't know necessarily, but interesting.
Yes, all the Titans players are just tweeting eyeball emojis right now. Back to the point I was trying to make. Daniel Bellinger's first year cap hit, about $5 million on an $8 million average annual value salary. So that tells you a little bit. Hang on, I'm going to put it on the screen because I want everyone to see Zach's tweet here. Maybe those contract details were incorrect because Zach appears to have deleted. Nope, never mind. That was just a glitch. We're live. Just hanging out, just talking free agency, live on the Music City Audible. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, join the Audible Army. Anyway, thanks to Zach, we have the numbers here. 2026 cap hit, $5.1 million. 2027 cap hit, $8.6 million. It's a three-year deal, but after 2027, after the first 2 years, they can get out of it with saving the last $8 million there, only $2 million in dead cap. So that's a pretty reasonable deal. I know a lot of people are going crazy about the Daniel Bellinger signing, like, oh, what a massive overpay. The Titans just massively overpaid a blocking tight end who's barely caught the ball. Do you guys see what the Chargers did? The Chargers signed Charlie Kohler to like the same deal. 3 years over 24 million. It's actually slightly higher than what Bellinger got. Charlie Kohler. Okay, if he can make $8 million a year, so can Daniel Bellinger. This is the going rate for a good high-level blocking tight end in the 2026 NFL landscape, where these two tight end packages and multiple personnel groupings going up against these nickel defenses can really take advantage of those lighter personnel packages in the run game, because you got to have players on the field that can cover both tight ends and players on the field that can stop the run, and those tight ends just run through cornerbacks in the run game. So that's why you see a guy like Daniel Bellinger make $8 million a year. Anyway, mini rant over. The whole point was, no, we do not know where the Titans currently stand in their cap space remaining until we get broken down contract details like Zach provided for Daniel Bellinger there on all the contracts. We can't compute what these first year cap hits are going to come out to or how much money the Titans have left to spend. All we can do in the moment now is react as these signings come in. And then as the smoke clears and the dust settles, we'll be able to assess how much space they have remaining going forward. We haven't got to Alante Taylor yet, Justin. Hey, so if you want to comment on that.
Or John Franklin Myers. We haven't talked about either of them, I don't think.
Well, John Franklin Myers, I said, let's do the cornerbacks. That was 17 minutes ago, and we've been talking for 17 minutes about who knows what. But you want to move us to Alante Taylor?
I do. This is one you and I talked about quite a bit on the streams leading up. Just a really, really good fit here. And obviously there's the big-time local connection, but I get the football player, man. He's so physical. He's fun around the line of scrimmage. He tackles. He loves getting his nose dirty. And I think in, you know, Robert Saleh's defense, that's a really, really good fit. He loves corners who can tackle and kind of play around the line. What will be interesting to monitor is he's played a lot, you know, outside and inside. Where do they see him playing? I personally think he's typically been the better fit on the out. At the nickel.
Yeah.
But I think the Titans probably going to play him outside based on what they have. I think Marcus Harris is probably a nickel in this. I mean, we don't know that he's going to start, but Marcus Harris is a nickel. So right now I would project Alante Taylor outside, Cordell Flott outside, obviously, Marcus Harris inside, or they're going to use a safety inside occasionally, like a guy like Kevin Winston, who might be able to do that, depending on if they bring in another safety that could actually play. But Taylor's a really good football player. I'm curious what the plan is on how to utilize him, but he's a really good cornerback, and Tennessee fans should be really excited about having him here.
Yeah, I think he definitely has some issues when it comes to like tackling in space. And I think that's different than tackling as a nickel in the run game, like fitting run gaps as a nickel. I think he's been a pretty good and aggressive player, physical player, and good tackler. Tackling from the boundary position when a guy catches the ball in space near him, he has had an issue missing tackles. And so that's something that, you know, Titans fans just have to keep an eye on. He's not like a premier shutdown level corner, and neither is Cordell Flott for that matter. Also, how funny is it? The Titans signed two former Giants today whose last five characters, not letters, because letters doesn't cover it. The last five characters of their first name are apostrophe D-A-L-E. Wandale and Cordell. Anyway, that's
I didn't know Cordell had an apostrophe in it.
C-O-R apostrophe D-A-L-E, just like Wandale, W-A-N apostrophe D-A-L-E.
So is that four former Giants today?
Yes, that is. Wild. If you count, I mean, obviously Bellinger, sure. Robinson, and Flott have been there. And Schlotzman, yeah.
Schlotzman, he says. Schlotzman. Four former Giants. That's pretty crazy. And then a former Jet, who I think we're going to talk a little bit about now, in John Franklin Myers, the biggest one of all. I don't know how we left it for 20 minutes in. The deal we all expected to get done does get done. 3 years, $63 million, 42 guaranteed, I think it was. There was rumors this was going to, he was going to come in around $20 million a year, and he did. They were proven accurate, but he's a really darn good football player. No, the Okereke news is not real, Enrique. We've had a couple people asking. We have not seen any Bobby Okereke actual news. You know, keep posted on a linebacker move for the Titans. But
this did just happen. Giants have re-signed Jermaine Illuminor, 3 for $39. Not that, I mean, I don't really care about that. He's a tackle now. He's not going to move himself to guard. He actually tweeted the other day, I'm the best right tackle in the league, or something like that. So that's he was never an option for the Titans. Let's be real. Keep going.
No, probably not. But John Franklin Myers, is that your, it might, oh, I don't know, it's close for me, but it might be my favorite signing of the day, because despite the money, even though we knew he was coming, I'm just so pumped to see him, on this D-line next to Jeffrey Simmons. Really, really excited.
Get your boy Lomas on a leash there, Justin.
Oh, did he get fooled by it?
He must be out there tweeting. I don't know. I'm doing a live stream, but apparently, according to our live chat, he must be out there tweeting about Okereke. Yeah, I mean, John Franklin Myers, I think, highest impact defensive signing when you talk about the duo that he and Jeffrey Simmons can become. Like, everything you hoped that Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons could be in terms of a pass-rushing force, John Franklin Myers actually is. In fact, if you, like, just put the two of these guys together side by side, they're going to look like body clones of each other. I mean, they both wear 98. They have very similar-looking frames and builds. Massive, intimidating guys. My favorite signing, though, was Wandale Robinson so far. I mean, I said it
really?
When we did the Wandale Robinson free agent profile. I said it again last week that my number one free agent target for the Titans was Wandale Robinson. I said that before the combine, before it became the worst kept secret in the NFL that the Titans were going to sign Wandale. So, no, it wasn't biasedly influenced by the fact that the Titans were actually pursuing him. I said that way before any of those reports came out. I think Wandale gives them exactly what they need on offense in terms of a short area separator, playmaker, yak ability, who can also threaten down the field as he did towards the end of last season. This is a good question. Did we overpay for JFM? Let's get to that right now. I don't think so. I mean, there was numerous teams in the mix to sign John Franklin Myers, including, I think, the Colts, the 49ers, one other team I saw. This guy's services were in hot demand. And if we take a look at this tweet here from Next Gen Stats, highest pressure rates amongst defensive tackles over the last two seasons. Milton Williams leads all defensive tackles, but Jeffrey Simmons just a tick behind him. 12% pressure rate. Quinnen Williams third, and John Franklin Myers fourth on the list. So the Titans now have two of the top four pressure generators from the interior of the defensive line over the last two seasons, paired up next to each other, collapsing pockets together. The interesting thing to me about this, Justin, is your edge rushers, which is still a weak link. I mean, you got Jermaine Johnson on one side, hopefully better this year, coming back his second year removed from the torn Achilles. We don't know who's going to start on the other side. Could be Femi Oladejo. Could be Jalen Harrell. Could be a lesser profile signing to come. Could be Reuben Bain. We will see. But when you have guys in the middle that can create as much pressure as these two can together, running stunts and games together on the inside as well, guys who can pop outside on pass rushing downs and get after the quarterback from the edge position too occasionally, you don't necessarily need as high profile an edge player. You don't need that guy that commands the one-on-one or that commands the double team from the edge spot, because you got a guy in Jeffrey Simmons that's going to command a double team almost every time. And when he doesn't get one, it's sliding to John Franklin Myers. So I think this signing, the compounding effect, the what it does for the rest of the defense to have this guy inserted on the defensive line, it's huge. And I think it's worth, for 2 years, guaranteed, the $20 million a year salary.
Yeah, I'm with you. I look at some of the other deals in free agency that happened today along the defensive line. I mean, I'm not saying the Titans didn't. I mean, I overpays, it's all context, right? Like, Jalen Phillips got 4 years, $130 million, I think it was, from the Panthers with his injury history.
30
Odafe,
a year. Phillips got $30 million a
year. Yeah, Odafe Owe got $25 million a year, 4 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
Boye Mafe, I think, got $20 million, I think it was, like 3 years, $60 million. Quiddy Pay got a decent, like, there's a lot of money.
16 yeah, like, for Pay.
A lot of money giving out to these D linemen. None of those guys are definitely better than John Franklin Myers. I really like Owe. I would say him and Franklin Myers are 1-2 in that category. They're definitely both better than Quiddy Pay and Boye Mafe. Sure, I should say. So, for me, I'm not super concerned about how much they pay. It's also only a three-year deal. If it's 4 or 5, I'd be more worried. Titans are going to have a lot of cap space next year, too. You know what I mean? This is not – or, you know, like, yeah, they're not going to be in a cap crunch next year, I guess you should say. So not super worried about the money on JFM. I think when you look at everyone else that rush the passer, whether that's interior or on the outside, they both got a lot of money.
Yeah, and – To be fair, you said it's a three-year deal, only a three-year deal. It's really only a two-year deal. 42, is that what it was? $42 million guaranteed. So that means that 2 years at $20 million apiece, you can probably get out of the contract after that second year with about $2 million in dead money, maybe $4 million in dead money, but whatever. You save 16 to 18, depending on what that is, if you need to get out of it after 2 years. Here's the report I was referring to earlier from Diana Russini. The Bengals, 49ers, and Colts were interested in John Franklin Myers. Titans end up landing him. You know that that's because of Robert Saleh, which is a great sign that Saleh was able to go out to a player he hadn't coached in Cordell Flott. Obviously, Brian Daboll was the head coach of the Giants last year, but go recruit him, pitch him on how he's going to use him, and flip his mind from re-signing with the team he's played for since he was drafted to come play for the Titans. Then you have John Franklin Myers, heavily pursued by three other teams who all need defensive line help, and he says, no, I'm going to go back to play for the coach that I had my best time with.
Right.
That's Robert Saleh, that's D-line coach Aaron Whitecotton, that's former teammate Jermaine Johnson, and former teammate turned coach Tanzel Smart, all a part of that process that helped land John Franklin Myers in Tennessee. I think it's a great signing. And that's where we stand now. So we're at, what, 8 signings today, 1 re-signing in Morgan Cox, and 7 new players. And I think 5 out of 7, I would say, I guess, are going to be starters. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky is your backup quarterback. And then Austin Schlottman could be your starter at center. Could be an interior swing depth guy. We'll see. I wanted to look at the free agency checklist that I had made, Justin, because it is somewhat updated now. The Titans do still need a kicker. They do still need a handful of starting players. I mean, they haven't really... They've done a lot of work today, and they're a better team now than they were when free agency started. But they aren't particularly set, and I think that's what you were hinting at before. This makes it really clear and easy. That's why I did this. I'm proud of myself. Pat on the back. Excuse me for doing so. Still need a starting center, we think. Still need a starting right guard. Could use another wide receiver, not a must-add. Could use a running back, not a must-add. Maybe they just draft one at 4 overall. Could use a swing offensive tackle. I can go ahead and check off. Obviously, I did this before the Schlottman signing, so I think we can go ahead and check off interior depth. On the defense, do they still need a starting defensive end? That's up for debate. Arden Key to the Colts, by the way. We didn't mention that. That happened earlier.
Oh,
linebacker upgrade. Again, not absolutely necessary, but we have heard a lot about them wanting to upgrade. You got Jermaine Johnson tweeting eyeballs at Quincy Williams. You got Bobby Okereke, with a lot of connections. A nickel corner. You mentioned Marcus Harris. That could be the answer, so that's why there's a question mark next to this one. Same kind of deal with safety. You don't know if they need one or if they just want one. Same with cornerback depth. And then, yeah, they need a kicker and a punter. That's a lot of starting positions still left to be filled. They could try to fill some of those in the draft. Always a risky business to do that. And here we are, you know, day one of free agency, $262 million spent and then some, and still at least three, if not four starters, not counting kicker and punter, to be found somewhere.
I think the biggest, when I look at this list, the biggest for me is the starting right guard and the linebacker. I figure if I'm expecting anything like more notable, it would be there personally, because I mean, at running back, I'm starting to think maybe they stick with Pollard or maybe it is Jeremiah Love at number four. At wide receiver, I'm thinking, you know, second round pick 35. And then the starting edge for me, I do think edge is still in need. And I guess not a lot has changed, but to me, the moves today have made it more clear, in my opinion, that it's either Edge or Jeremiah Love at number four, personally. So for me, I'm looking at right guard and linebacker in free agency, and I think those two are probably the biggest, you know, TBD moves as of now.
I think that's right. Quick shout out. We missed this a handful of minutes, 7 minutes ago. CJack007 with a $5 super chat. Tighten up. Thank you, CJack.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that one. Yeah, I agree. What if they sign Trey Hendrickson? Then how will you feel?
It might be a running back or center at number four. Listen, you know, if they sign Trey Hendrickson, then they're probably not taking an edge at number four. Would certainly be very good for the portion that definitely wants Jeremiah Love. I would say a linebacker still, maybe Sonny Styles is still possible there if they don't sign a linebacker. But certainly running back and edge right now, I think, is the two favorites at number four.
Yeah, I agree. I think if the Titans sign Trey Hendrickson, I'll be shocked, because that means they somehow still have a huge amount of salary cap space to fit Trey Hendrickson onto the roster. Like, with all the signings they've made today, like, I agree they're still going to sign guys. Like, they still need starters on the O-line, linebacker, potentially starting defensive end, potentially. They need a lot of depth. They need a kicker and a punter. Those aren't going to be, you know, $0 cap hits. Those are going to be in the millions. You know, $3 to $5 million a piece, probably, for those two positions.
Couple of questions I want to quickly get to. Is edge really that big of a need, Curtis? I mean, I think so. Are you comfortable with Jermaine Johnson, Jalen Harrell, and Femi Oladejo? Because I'm not, and I don't think anyone should be. I saw another one. Someone talked about the Saints complaining about Alante Taylor or fans. Yeah. I think he's a good player. I do. I really like him. Again, physical, tough, competitive, nasty. I'm a big fan of Alante Taylor. There was one more. Oh, someone asked about Kevin Zeitler. No, he has not signed anywhere yet. Kevin Zeitler is still available, hopefully to come back to the Titans.
Yeah. I do think that would be the best move there for continuity's sake, if they can get him on a cheapish deal. Saints fans loved Alante now that he's gone. I mean, Saints fans, they've been complaining about Alante quite a bit. Iron Grins is pushing this in the chat, Justin. We love Iron Grins. He's helped us, you know, in the background before with spreadsheet design and stuff like that. He has been pushing that you can't take Jeremiah Love right now unless you upgrade that interior of the offensive line still, and that's going to require, a center of a higher profile than the one that they've signed in Austin Schlottman, who's a career backup who, you know, he started four games for the Giants last year, played admirably in relief, but not a guy that's ever been a full-time starter. It'd be, you know, akin to making Corey Levin just saying, you're our starting center now without making him have to earn it. But I don't necessarily think that that's, that this, I mean, Schlottman, if he wins a camp competition, he could be a steady, like, I don't want to say upgrade, but it's not like Lloyd Cushenberry was good last year, you know?
I think they could draft Love at number four if they do one thing on this O-line, and that would be, I'd be confident enough, one or the other, bring in Elgton Jenkins, who got cut by the Packers. I'd be willing to kick the tires there. I think he's probably better than Austin Schlottman, certainly, and maybe with the, you know, other options at center. Either bring in Jenkins or re-sign Zeitler. You do just one of those things, and I would feel that the line is, you know, good enough to legitimately consider running back at number four. But as of now, with no right guard and it being Schlottman versus Slater at center, I don't feel good about that. Need one more piece of the puzzle, I think, there.
Yeah, I agree. But there's a lot of time to go. You know, free agency doesn't end today. It doesn't end in the next couple hours. It ends when the season starts. And even then, there'll be guys on the market waiting to get signed, veterans and whatnot. So this is a long process here. But Titans have made a lot of moves today. I think they've added five starters. They've added somebody who can compete to start at center. They've upgraded their backup quarterback, which is like an insurance plan on the season if Cam Ward has to miss some time. And I think all the moves make sense. I mean, yeah, they overpaid a little bit maybe for Alante Taylor and John Franklin Myers, but again, that's a subjective word. Like, we don't know if it was an overpay. If these guys were in hot demand, then they had to pay what they had to pay. And if anything else happens tonight, this is our last live stream of the day, our third live stream, guys. Come on, we gave you an hour earlier today. We gave you 30 minutes after the first three signings, another 35 minutes and counting now. If anything else happens tonight, we're not going to hop back on. We will be live again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We'll reset where we're at with free agency, what the Titans' biggest remaining needs are, who the best available players are, and if they make any more signings between now and 10 a.m. tomorrow, we will cover those in depth on tomorrow's live stream. Is there any other thoughts percolating in your head, Justin, that you got to get out today before we end this and say goodbye?
No, I don't think so. Again, I'm always big on answering questions here. Someone asked, Kevin Byard still out there? He is still out there. ETN to the Saints, yeah, good point. Maybe they're not expecting Jeremiah Love to be there at number eight. How much money did we give Austin Schlottman, Derek? We're not sure yet, but I'm sure it's not much. Nothing to worry about. Probably between $1 and $3 million, if I had to guess. Very, very little. How much money do they have left? We don't know, Daryl, because we don't have all the contract information on these, but certainly as much. And remember, more is coming. Like, signing two corners, they're cutting L'Jarius Sneed. Signing Robinson, there's a chance they're cutting Calvin Ridley. So they've got more to do more, and they're going to do more. We don't know if it's going to be huge. Maybe it's Kevin Zeitler and Bobby Okereke, right? Like, it might be stuff like that, but they're definitely going to do more. So excited about that.
And yeah, they haven't cut Ridley. They haven't cut Sneed. They haven't extended Big Jeff, and they haven't extended Peter Skoronski either. And all four of those moves will likely open up some cap space. The only one that may not is depending on what Skoronski gets extended for and what that first year cap hit looks like.
Yeah. These last two, yes, DJ Silent, our buddy, Juwan Jennings is still out there. I haven't seen reports of him sign anywhere. And Iron Grids, I get what you're saying, but you're smart enough to know that the AAVs are so different from the cap hits. It's no point in even comparing the two. They'll have way, way more than $10 million left. And a lot of these cap hits are going to be much, much lower than the AAV. So TBD till we get some info, but they've got enough money left to do quite a bit more.
And yes, this is somewhat breaking news as of 31 seconds ago. Dre Greenlaw will be released by the Broncos. Rappaport first on it, I think. So that's a guy that obviously Robert Saleh coached, knows very well. He also was rumored to be connected to go back to the 49ers, and that Fred Warner could be potentially available if that happened, which would be even more shocking. And obviously so much of the connections there between Robert Saleh and guys out there that could become available, who already are available, Bobby Okereke with the Giants connections, Quincy Williams with the Robert Saleh connections, Dre Greenlaw now on the market, Robert Saleh connections, those linebackers. I can't imagine the linebackers that are like the scrap heap guys, like those guys, the guys who got cut by their teams, probably not going to be making that much money on this contract. On the other side, there's Devin Lloyd still out there, and he's probably going to get, you know, a $15 to $18 million a year contract, because he's one of the biggest playmakers in the league at linebacker. So lots to still be done. There was a question in here that I wanted to hit that was, is wide receiver at number pick four off the board? I mean, wide receiver at pick four, to me, was never really on the board because the value of the players that you get there, you can't just say that's the position we want, take the best one in the draft. That the best one in the draft, to me, isn't worth the number four overall pick. And there's plenty of debate on who the best one in the draft is. To me, it's Jordan Tyson. Injury history, very scary. Carnell Tate, to me, I think I'd rather have Mekhi Lemon for the upside, but you know what? Carnell Tate, very skilled player, high floor player, not worth the number four overall pick. So I don't think that was ever the direction they were going to go. Yeah, exactly. Here in the chat, there's not a wide receiver worthy of number four.
There is not.
I think that'll do it. Justin, you want a final word over to you?
Yeah, good point. Algier to the Cardinals as well. That's another Jeremiah Love suitor out of the top 10. Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs also takes the Chiefs out of the Jeremiah Love sweepstakes. So a lot of Jeremiah Love landing spots might have evaporated today, especially in the top 10. I would say three where the Saints are, 7 or 8 and 9 with the Chiefs. So really interesting. That'll do it, Derek. Thank you for the good night wishes. I've got more writing to go do. I'm going to go write about Austin Schlottman and a couple other things. So appreciate you all for tuning into the third episode today of the Music City Audible. We'll be back tomorrow live at 10 a.m. Central to continue talking Titans free agency. Thank you so much for tuning in. Y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese, and every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
This Mother's Day, give her something she'll truly use and absolutely love. Minky Couture blankets are the perfect mix of beauty, comfort, and luxury. From elegant neutrals to spring florals, there's a style just for her. Say thank you with softness that lasts far beyond the day. She deserves it. MinkyCouture.com, the original best blanket ever.